Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. We recognize that these opportunities are prepositioned by you as part of your plan to provide us with the information we need to have in order to take advantage of your grace, in order that we can deploy your Word under the ministry of the Spirit to your glory and our benefit. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. A couple of passages related to the zeitgeist of the time, which of course is interesting since we are in a declining client nation that seems to be coming apart. And a passage that we need to always keep in mind anytime we think or do anything is James 1, 19 and 20. The other one is bring every thought into subjection to Jesus. It correlates to this. You know, my brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You know, that's the risk, the thing we risk here in our situation in this country is improper emotion, because we know what's going to happen. You know, but then again, what was Jesus' response? His response was he wept. That was his response. The inevitable was there. The die was cast. It was over, and he knew that, you know, 40 years from now, then he would, the country, the place would be completely destroyed, carried off, you know, to the point where they were eating their babies. That's how it was. So they were under siege for quite a while. But that, I'm not saying we're going there, though we may well be. We'll see. John 3:19-20 describes a situation. This is a condemnation that. The truth has come into the world. Of course, this is truth is a metonymy for light, which is a metonymy for God and Jesus Christ, basically. And the people love the lie rather than the truth because their deeds were evil. So this is the tendency that we have in the devil's world. An interesting concept that we've always heard, the concept of the rate of learning has to exceed the rate of forgetting. Well, there's a guy that actually put this together. He was the secretary to Margaret Thatcher, and he had a principle that he used, and he says that people have to constantly be orienting. He used the word conservatism, but I would say establishment or doctrine, and they must actively orient to that, or else they will inevitably be pulled into liberalism. Those were his words. So he used the words conservative and liberal, which aren't really the right words. The real word is divine establishment versus the cosmic system. That's the issue. So we have to be actively learning and pursuing and checking our minds to make sure we're on the page that God would have us be on, because of the pressures associated with the devil's world. And of course we have the sin nature that's in synergy with the cosmic system that's in synergy with the devil. And so you have the public lie and the public lie related to the zeitgeist of the age and the fake news that becomes the pervasive viewpoint, left alone. And so that's one of the reasons. Last time I mentioned that people go down to D.C. and they end up going bad. Well, that's why. And the reason is prosperity. And we're going to note that if we get that far today, that the basis for the fall of the client nation is not lack, it's excess. So it goes on to say, because everyone who does evil hates the truth and does not come to the truth for fear their evil deeds will be exposed. So the folks are fearful that their malfeasance will be, you know, seen. So they operate in the lie, in the darkness. And we see that in our country. That's why our president has such a hard time. Because not only is he facing off with those who are just playing negative, and we know those people we know are off the reservation. But have to... Half or three-fourths of the people that are allegedly on the side of the truth are in the same situation. They're compromised differently, though. That's the thing. They're compromised differently. Jeremiah 17:9, we see that no one is good. The human mind is more deceitful than anything else, incurably bad, who can understand it? You know, a lot of the problems we face is we think people are basically good. That's a lie. That's cosmic. People are basically evil. Now, the problem is people don't know what evil is. But that's their fault. Remember, lack of cognizance is the fault of the person who's has lack of cognizance. So remember, propaganda is what they do to you. Deception is what you do to yourself. People are deceived because they want to be deceived. They may not actively say they want to be deceived, but their passivity creates the circumstance where they're automatically going to be deceived because of what we noted earlier. If you're not constantly orienting to truth actively through study of the Word of God, you're passively going to go into the other direction. And of course, that's the definition of entropy, is the tendency of things to wind down. Ecclesiastes 8, this relates to our circumstances. No man has authority to control the wind, the weather, or the climate. Of course, they allege that they do. Or the authority over the day of death, they allege that they do. There is no discharge in the midst of a battle, there's no doubt about that. And evil people will not be rescued by their evil deeds. And conflating this with Hosea 8:7, they sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. So that's kind of the zeitgeist of our age, if things aren't turned around here pretty quick. Although it can go a lot longer than you think. You know, you think, remember, Noah was given 120 years to build the ark. And that was a pretty decadent society. You know, they were actually actively pursuing God's people and killing them. And God had to protect his people in order to prevent the destruction of the human race. And he got it down to 8 people, one family, basically, that he preserved. And that's, of course, through the flood. Ecclesiastes 8:11, this is also indicative of our time. Because sentences against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. So this is where arrogance sets in, because people think they're going to get away with it. Of course, we understand that the only reason they get away with it is because of the evil rulers. Nobody gets away with anything. So that's the other thing you got to realize. And that goes back to our passage in James. Jesus Christ has got it covered. And though it may appear that the world isn't going to deal with it, God always does. Now, we don't necessarily know exactly how he does that, and neither is it our business. That's way above our pay grade. You know, our job is not to judge other people, even though we can rightfully judge certain circumstances because you know it's anti-establishment or whatever. So but it's not your place to say anything necessarily in a position of authority. The problem we have is you've got too many people in positions of authority that aren't saying anything either. So that becomes a problem. And that's why we are where we are. John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral religious people and it's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. That was a prescient statement. This means that if the voters become Democrat socialists, tyranny will be necessary because the Constitution is totally inadequate to control socialists. See, that's the thing. If you notice, I mean, people chafe at the idea that the leftists are against the Constitution. Well, they're against the Constitution because the Constitution doesn't work for them or their people. You know, the thing is, see, they blame the availability of certain freedoms for the sin, not recognizing that the source of the sin and evil is volition. And they actually reject the concept of volition being the major factor, the only factor. See, they say environment creates circumstances, reality. Well, the Word of God says no. It says volition creates environment. All right? So, who's the author of that game? Satan is. See, Satan doesn't want to take responsibility for anything he did. He doesn't want to be judged and condemned for the malfeasance he got involved with his arrogance and then rebellion. So the way you remedy that, of course, is get away with defund the police. All right? That's Satan's view. Why? Well, when you say defund the police in Satan's perspective, that's get away with God. Have God go away and just, you know, let him do what he wants. Well, God's not going to do that because he's perfect. So anyways, but that's where that comes from. So to the extent that a group of individuals is in compliance and in accord with perversion and criminality, the Constitution doesn't work. Because the Constitution requires people with integrity. And he defined that as a moral, religious people. I wouldn't define it that way, but he did. That's okay. You know, he's allowed that. That's a humanistic viewpoint of it. What you need is a person who's filled with the Spirit and has doctrine and soul. That's what you need. Not just a believer. You need a doctrinal believer. Because they're the only ones Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Against such things there is no law. That's where you got to be. Because if you're not under the ministry of the Spirit and having the Holy Spirit control you, the Constitution doesn't work. See, that's the problem. It requires people who are positive to the Word of God. Every nation is only one generation away from tyranny. See, every generation makes this choice. Some are more critical than others. Why? Third and fourth generation curse. You know, we're into the third and fourth generation curse right now. So, you know, it's critical for us. It's less critical for others, although they sometimes come under the gun as well. But everybody has to make these choices. But you can kind of, as long as there's a momentum for truth, as our nation was founded on, there's a tendency for some people to do the right thing for a while. But even that, again, becomes fewer and fewer and fewer if there's no active pursuit of truth. So every nation is only one generation away from tyranny. Deception is not an excuse because people who are deceived want to be deceived. And why do I say that? Well, the woman wanted to be deceived. She fell for the lie, and she's the first one that was, well, Satan deceived himself. He wanted to be deceived. Truth, the lie was found in him. Arrogance. What was his lie? He wanted to take over God's place. He wanted to do that. So he deceived himself. She allowed Satan to deceive, propagandize her, and she was deceived because she wanted to be smarter than God. Well, smarter than Adam, anyway. We don't know. But smarter than somebody. And she ended up not being smarter than anybody because of the choices she made. So this means good or bad, either way. Those are the voters are responsible for freedom or tyranny. So we whine and complain about these five states that have run a freak show. But the voters in those states voted for these people that ran the freak show. All right? So they got no one to blame but themselves. Now the rest of the country's got to deal with it too. But that's God allowed. So in their case, it's cursing by association with the nation. But remember, God turns a curse into a blessing for people who are positive. So there's discipline on one part of the group, that would be the five states maybe, and then suffering for blessing for the other 45 states, or 40 whatever, yeah, 50 states, right? 45 states. So that's what is going on, except maybe the ones who voted for the tyranny already by wholesale, like California and New York, and you know they're already in the garbage can. So, but the 25 or 30 states that voted right are under suffering for blessing. The rest of us are under suffering for discipline, unless you happen to be in a red area. No, that's just a way of explaining it. So in the states where freedom was rejected, the people of those states had previously used their freedom to vote for incipient tyranny. Now, they didn't know that because they're not educated enough to recognize that anytime you trade freedom for security, you're going to get neither. That's a Ben Franklin. This means that voters in the states where the politicians stacked the election for security are responsible because they got what they voted for, and in this case, at least so far, so does this entire nation. Now, we have checks and balances in our country. We'll see what really happens in the end. We don't know. The jury's still out. The legislatures can do what they want. They have no obligation to have any orientation to the popular vote. It's in the Constitution. They can do what they want. So we won't know until January 20th what really happened. And for us to expect the courts to step in is unrealistic. It's not the court's purview to do this. Now, they can, maybe, although the problem with that is it creates a firestorm. And the reason for that is that they have people will think they're biased. So that's why they're loath to get involved. And you can't blame them. And they don't need to, really. The people who are responsible for this job are the legislatures. Well, the legislatures need to do their job. And they may well. They may well. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they do. But that's God coming through for us, if that happens. All right? And the battle is the Lord's. You've got to realize that. So if God overrules the bad choices, it won't be because the nation deserves it. The nation is sown to the wind and deserves the whirlwind, and that may well be what's coming. And this is the model that's being used against us, in case you want to know. 1940, the closest correlation we have to a previous nation fall is 1949 China. Chiang Kai-shek and Mao Zedong. Well, this is what Zedong lied and deceived and won. Okay, exactly what we got going on here. It is a perfect copy. And if you haven't noticed, they're running a show down there. through the back door. It's becoming more and more obvious. You know, people weren't talking about this 5 weeks ago. Well, it was suppressed and blacked out. You know, the media is completely complicit. But the point is, China is the reference point here. And that's why they're the big problem. It ain't Russia, Russia, Russia. It's China, China, China. And it always has been. Well, lately it has been. So the greatest mass murder of the 20th century wasn't Hitler, Stalin. It was Mao Zedong. According to the authoritative Black Book of Communism, they estimated 65 million Chinese dead as a result of Mao's repeated merciless attempts to create a new socialist. Oh, sound familiar? China. Anyone who got in his way was done away with by execution, imprisonment, or forced famine. The CCP continues to use those same merciless tactics to keep China enslaved to this day. You know, they've got a whole tribe of people that they're doing this to at this moment. They have to be Muslim, but the principle is the same. So that's where we're going. And if you haven't looked at the Socialist Democrats' attitudes toward people, that's it. Intolerance. And we'll have that same kind of destruction here. But here it'll be a little more active, because the people here aren't going to lay down. They'll die first. But you probably won't get 65 million, maybe only 20. Okay. But don't be surprised. But we'll see. So in a study of Smyrna, the base of the pivot power for the first Gentile client nation is PQR. See, there's nothing new under the sun. All this has happened before. This is took to a study of the doctrine of historical trends. And, of course, that's the basis of what's happening in our country right now. The interesting thing about historical trends is God typically does not step in and save people from themselves, because there's no reason to. You know, when he has prophecy going on, he has a agenda that has to play out according to the prophecy. Well, there's none of that going on here. Everybody who dies as a believer goes to heaven. Everybody who dies as an unbeliever goes to torments. All right? The whole thing gets sorted out at the various judgments down the road. And which way we go doesn't really matter. As long as the only thing that would cause God maybe to not to, well, he's not, the thing is, the policy is for not him not to step in. Now, one thing will vary that, and that's prayer. That's why prayer is such a powerful weapon here. The effects of prayer of a righteous man avails much. So people who know how to pray can actually program the divine decree and extend the time for the nation. So if you want to do something to help the situation, that's the answer, prayer. It isn't going down and having rallies. They ain't doing nothing. Obviously, you can send money to the people that might be on a ballot somewhere, if that's something you're interested in doing. Doesn't matter. Prayer is the answer. And positive listening to the Word of God. Because the pivot has to hold the ground. That's the answer. And so if someone wants to do something positive for the country, advance in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and pray. And if you see some small thing you can do in your sphere of influence, fine, do it. But make sure it's done in the right way. The right thing done in the right way for the right reason. And not anger. Not no mental attitude sins, baby. But then you're part of the problem. So that's the historical trend thing. We left off last time. We had noted that that free volition is the issue in human life. So by making good decisions, you open options for greater decisions and blessing. And by making bad decisions, future options are limited. So we've talked about that as being like a funnel. Positive volition is going up in the funnel, where the opening options are opened up wider and wider as you continue up the funnel. Going down the funnel, you end up, if it goes all the way to a point, you end up with a dot, and that's the sin of death. All right, termination of physical life. The historical trends of the church age are related to the believer's choice of options. Believers choosing for God's spiritual power system and producing a large pit of more mature believers means blessing. But see, there you have blessing by association with the pivot. That's how the nation advances. But believers choosing for the cosmic system means disaster compounded by more disaster. So what you end up with is a circumstance where positive decisions create more positive decisions. You have a trend towards doing the right thing. So momentum, that's why momentum is, we talk about momentum all the time. Momentum is the tendency of an object in motion to stay in motion. And the opposite of that is the opposite of stay at rest. Okay, so whatever you're doing at any given point, you've got momentum doing that. So positive listen to the Word of God tends to advance you and you continue to process. Whereas, of course, if you stop accelerating, you start slowing down. That's entropy. And if you come to a rest, well, that means you're not functional. And that's where too many people are. Man is free, but he's also weak. Therefore, he must use his volition to identify a power system that is greater than he is, so that his weakness can be transformed into strength. See, that's the point. God put us here on earth specifically in a position of weakness for the purpose of demonstrating his power in our weakness. And we're going to see that. We've seen it already, but we're going to touch it again. So the point is that the issue is we have to associate with some system. Now, people don't think they're doing that, but they are by default. The natural man is the enemy of God. The natural man is by default in Satan's cosmic system. All right, that's where they are. They don't know it, but they are. And then on the other side, the spiritual person is in God's system. And not just the believer. The believer is on potentially... The believer can be in God's system, but may or may not be. Well, that's the concept of position versus experience. You have justification, sanctification, glorification. Now, justification, which is positional reality, guarantees glorification, but doesn't guarantee position in that glorified state. Sanctification is a variable. That's positive or negative volition to doctrine. And that ultimately determines position in glorification. So you've got this ring. Paul talks about the fact that as the stars in the heavens, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's talking about the fact that believers are going to be arrayed in glory in association or correlated to like the stars in the heaven. Some of them are virtually obscure and unseen. And some of them are very visible. That's what it is. And of course, the variant there is positive volition to the Word of God. How much time did you log under the ministry of the Spirit applying doctrine? That's the question. And that's guaranteed. I mean, as you do that, that's the advance. So Paul's attitude, he said, he has said to me, remember, Paul's praying for the thorn demon to be disappeared. And God says, no, you need that. He says, my grace is sufficient for you because power is perfected in weakness. So God's telling him that God's power is magnified and advanced in Paul's inability. Why? Because Paul has to orient to a system that's greater than he is. He can either become bitter and angry and hateful, that would be orienting to the cosmic system. Nothing help you. Or he can be grace-oriented. He can recognize God's turning the curse into a blessing. And he can say, okay, I'm good with this. We'll just move out and keep on moving. That's the right answer. So the system is God's spiritual power system. And conversely, Satan's cosmic system turns strength into weakness. James 4, verse 6a. He says God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So the first half of that statement, God's opposed to the proud. So God makes war against the arrogant, is what that's saying. Now, who's the arrogant person? A person who's rejected God's plan. See, it says that a moron has said in his heart there is no God. So that person has rejected God's plan by virtue of that decision. And, of course, it's a bunch of decisions down the line that are subsequent to that. You start with believing that there's a God. Then you come to gospel hearing, and then you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then you have the option of going in the grace of knowledge by appropriating doctrine and offering under the ministry of the Spirit. So life is a continuous series of choices. And those choices determine where we're at in any given moment. So inside God's spiritual power system, men's lives are changed by truth and grace orientation. Inside Satan's cosmic system, men's lives are changed by arrogant lies and evil motivation. So if you haven't noticed, these viewpoints are diametrically opposed. They never the twain shall meet. You know, that we have this idea in our country that we can get along with people. Well, that's not true. You can tolerate them. You can be non-emotional about it if you have enough doctrine. And that ain't easy. Because when people are criminal and perverts, you got problems. You know, they're incompatible with truth. And if the government won't deal with them, which is the situation we have because of our passive government. See, the government's failing because of the people in charge. They've been co-opted by the dark side. And so they're unwilling to take a stand for truth too often. And that's what's causing the problem. So the thing just keeps magnifying. So there's no compatibility between lies and evil motivation and grace and truth orientation. There's no compatibility. Now, the grace and truth people can tolerate these people up to the point where they become criminals, at which point they can't. But that's when you have authority to deal with it. When a criminal shows up at your door, you cannot allow that. You don't have to allow that to happen, although some states think you should. God says, no, you don't have to allow it to happen. See, that's where you have the opportunity to serve God rather than man. You know, the state may put you in jail because you serve God, but that's another problem. You know, in certain states that they might. Because they say, oh, you need to be able to run. But you're not obligated to do that. You're not obligated to run. The devil wants you to run, but not God. Under the principle of liberty, people must have freedom to succeed or fail. Therefore, true freedom does not create equality of result. It creates both failure and success. See, when we talk about freedom or liberty, remember, liberty is what they give you, freedom is what you do with it. You know, that's the way to view it. So we can use our freedom to destroy liberty, which is what's going on big time in this country. All of the leftists in this country want to destroy freedom. Well, why do they? Liberty. Why? Because they can't control people who don't have integrity. That's why. So they got to get rid of freedom, freedom of speech. They got to get rid of freedom of association. They got to get rid of freedom to defend yourself. They got to get rid of all this stuff because they can't. Their people don't have the capacity to have that because they deserve to be in jail, but they don't want them in jail. They want to open up all their jails and get rid of the cops. Well, that ain't going to play for long. See, the criminals are running the show, pretty much, as at the moment. So, true freedom does not create equality of result. We're talking about historical trends here. It creates both failure and success, which means people who make good decisions generally succeed, not always. But if they don't succeed, then if they have positive volition, they learn from their failure and they keep moving. Okay, failure is not a bad thing. Well, it's not a bad thing. It is. You just respond to it properly. Failure is the opportunity to learn to do something different and better, improve your style, improve it. And eventually, God will give you success. On the other hand, socialist tyranny creates universal failure as its equality. See, socialism wants its quality of result, which means nobody's doing anything. You see, that's the failure of socialism. It steals from the productive and gives to the non-productive because it wants equality of result. Well, pretty soon the productive say, it ain't worth the bother. Why waste my time? You know, I mean, that's where people go. And you can't blame them. Why should people who are working hard work hard if it's going to be stolen from them? They shouldn't. Well, maybe they will if they want to be a martyr. And maybe that's okay, up to a point. I mean, there's a place for that in the royal family of God. You know, if someone's need is really a legitimate need and not because of malfeasance. But, and when it's a built-in system, which is what does with the government bakes it in. So, they want equality of result, which means a drug addict is equivalent to a scientist or a doctor, as far as result goes. Well, that's if you go to Cuba, that's what you got right now. And most of China, there's a few places where they're kind of violating that with they're using capitalism to fund their show. And you go to Russia, that's what you got. That's why everything's a mess. You go to Venezuela, they turned that place into that. And now they're selling their pipes so that they can buy stuff. The pipes that they used to ship oil on, that they could still ship oil on if they still had them, but they don't, they sold them. So now they've completely eaten out their system, which was capitalism. And of course, the reason for that was the envy of the socialists. They don't realize, they don't want to realize. See, you've got to remember, they're self-deceived. They want to believe what they believe. See, that's the problem. And there's no fixing that, apart from maybe, there's no fixing that. The Holy Spirit, maybe I'll fix that. But that's about it. People can't. You're not going to change their mind. So that's the battle word. And again, there's no harmony between light and darkness. That's John's words. Is light corresponds to the truth and darkness corresponds to the lie. There's no harmony there. They're mutually exclusive. If you hadn't noticed, I mean, you go in a dark closet where there's no light, it's dark, you can't see nothing. You put take a light in there, it's no longer dark. You switch closer. Right? So they don't exist simultaneously. And that's the problem. Under the principle of John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowledge of absolute truth manufactures freedom. See, this is how you get to freedom. You have truth, and then from truth, you have capacity for freedom. It goes right back to what John Adams said. Capacity for freedom comes under truth of integrity. And if the people don't have capacity for truth, they have no capacity for freedom. In fact, they're going to destroy it, which is what we got going on. This is another way of saying that good decisions create options for greater decisions, and bad decisions destroy those options. None of us stand still. We're always either getting better or getting worse. See, that's the essence of life in the devil's world, in entropy. Everything is ultimately self-destructing. And even the universe is. I mean, people, it's a long ways away. It's never going to happen in a time frame that God has for us. People, I mean, the wackos think that man is involved with this. Of course, they're completely off their rocker with regard to who they... Well, that's Ecclesiastes 8. Sorry. You can go there, but you're a moron if you do. And they do go there. But God is going to ultimately destroy this universe, and Peter talks about that. You know, it's going to be completely destroyed. Probably fusion. Fusion, yeah. Fusion is where you tear things apart. We don't know. It'll happen some way or another. It's either fission or fusion. So now that stands still, it's always either getting better or getting worse. Satan's cosmic system changes lives for the worse, while God's spiritual power system changes life for the better. Free will, functioning under the sphere of liberty, is the daily option for everyone that everyone has, is why we have the command from Peter not to use our freedom to destroy liberty, but rather to serve God. 1 Peter 2:16. Act as free men. Or, forget the act, it's italics. As free men, do not use your freedom as covering for evil, but use it as bondservants of God. See, there's the two opposing processes. Meddlers. Peter had some words to say about that, too. Meddlers. He connects them with criminals. Meddlers. That's people who bother other people that they need to leave alone. It's none of their business. We got lots of that going on in our country. People that think somebody else needs, well, we got that with this COVID thing. Shutting down the whole state. That's meddlers. Okay, the moron governor is a meddler when he does that. Okay, he should just leave it alone. It's not his business. Go back to Ecclesiastes 8. That tells him the facts. But they're not, well, they're too ignorant to know that. Okay, I'm not going to say they're dumb. They're morons. Doesn't mean they're dumb. They just don't know anything. But they think they do, and they're in a position of power. So you're in deep crap because you voted for them. You get what you deserve there, maybe. So, anyways, the point is the freedom that people have, they use, and that's why client nations are destroyed. They use their freedom to destroy liberty, and then nobody has liberty. Or maybe some people secede. They start a new country. Well, that's what happened here. We're going to talk about. What's it called? There's a word. Monroe Doctrine. What's that called? I can't remember the name of it. We'll get to it in our notes. It has to do with manifest destiny. Yeah, manifest destiny. Monroe codified that, and people got all choky about it. They hate it. They think, oh, you're going to be a person that goes and evangelizes people, and that would be bad because they might go to heaven. They don't like that. You know, so that all the nations that went out and evangelized the world are evil. That's why they hate Western civilization. But their point of view is the devil, because the devil wants everybody to go to the lake of fire with him. All right. So if you go and evangelize someplace in Africa or somewhere, he's all upset, and so are his minions, because those people, he wants those people to go to the lake of fire with him. That's why they're upset. Got to look at the real cause here. It all goes right back to Jesus Christ and Satan. Everything goes back to that. It's all about Jesus Christ and Satan. So when people have that attitude, they have Satan written all over their heads. That's who they are. Well, Jesus said that, John 8. You're of the father of the devil. I mean, so these are the Pharisees, man. These are the bosses in the place he is running at. And they hate him because he keeps contradicting them because they are running the show with the oral law, oral traditions, rather than the Mosaic law. And they're contradicting the Mosaic law, which is the Word of God, with their oral traditions. Well, we got that going on here. Correlate executive order from some governor that doesn't have a clue with the Constitution. There's your dichotomy. Constitution is the correlates to the Mosaic law. Freedom. The governor, take your pick on which one it is, there's five or six of them, all in blue states because the people voted tyranny on themselves. They're for Satan. And they're operating on that basis, if you hadn't noticed. Tyranny, destroying freedom. They're destroying the... I mean, that ain't going to play long. We'll see how long it plays. Let's see here. Freedom carries the responsibility to use one's volition to make decisions based on truth or doctrine rather than on the arrogance and evil. Failure results in the recognition of our human frailties and the weaknesses. So again, if you fail, you have the option of learning from that or not. And as we've noted, negative, arrogant people don't learn from their failures. They just keep trying to do the old thing over again. You know, that's why they want to take this place socialist. Because everybody else that's socialist has been so successful. Yeah? No, they haven't been successful at all. They've destroyed their places. They've got nothing. The only thing they have is stuff they can steal. And that's what they do. Well, they got a lot of... That's Satan. That's his MO. Steal. They're leeches. Leeches. Socialists are leeches. Communists are leeches. Why do I say that? They suck off divine establishment. They cannot create any inherent wealth. They can only destroy wealth. They have no capacity to destroy. I mean, you got to look at a system. A system, if you're going to bootstrap something from nothing, go someplace where there's absolutely nothing. The pilgrims did this. The pilgrims. We talked about this at Thanksgiving. They showed up over here where nothing, from their frame of reference, it was a wasteland. Woods, water, no, fish in the ocean and streams, deer they could shoot, turkeys they could shoot, stuff like that. Okay. But there's nothing. There's no houses. There's nothing. What do you do? Well, first they started, they were going to have everything in common. But there was a problem with that. Because the people that could do more didn't do more because they were going to have to give all their stuff to the other people who weren't doing anything or couldn't. Now again, there's a place for altruism in certain places where that's legitimate. And God's Word accommodates that. Up to a point. But it doesn't work when you're bootstrapping out of nothing. So you can't start with a socialist state. You can't start with a communist state. You have to start with a capitalist state. And then when there's so much money flowing out of the grace of God because of positive volition to the Word in capitalism, then these guys with their superior ideas decide to go start plundering it. That's what's going on. And so the only way they can take it is down. They can't take it up. And for a while, maybe the host, a.k.a. the capitalist state, can support it while it's being bled dry. Okay? That's what's going on. And that's precisely what's going on in this country. Right now, the country is being carried by the red states that are back to work. The blue states are just sucking. And they're trying to suck more because they're trying to get the Congress to give them a bunch of money to pay them to keep something. And they're probably going to do it. Can you believe that crap? Because they're not smart enough to recognize it. All right, but they can't do anything. There's no production going on there. They've destroyed it. It's gone. 10,000 restaurants closed in New York City. Permanently. Okay. There's no tax revenue coming out of that, baby. So that's the problem. And socialism doesn't work. You can't bootstrap. Now, again, you can suck it in later after you've got going and you've got a lot going on momentum-wise and you don't suck it completely dry. You know, the parasite can hang on there for a while and the host can survive for a while, but not forever. And eventually the parasite gets bigger than the host and then you've got a real problem. And that's where we're at. We're getting close to. See, that's where Trump fixed it. He recognized that. So, failure results in recognition of our human frailties and our weakness. So it helps. It's a truth data point that tells us where we are, and then we can make a choice. Objective recognition of one's weaknesses is neither demeaning nor degrading, because all solutions in life begin with weakness and the recognition of failure. That is followed by a move towards God's provision for strength is the basis for the development of integrity. See, God's failure is a blessing if we take it right. Now, we can't take it personally. We can't take it unless we're responsible. Then we need to change our mind about what we're doing. But even still, you don't condemn yourself. You just didn't know. You did a bad thing, or did the wrong things, or weren't doing the right things, or whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is that you adjust to the reality and then do something different. Not the same thing over again. And you don't become a ward of the state either. You see, that's what they want people to do now. The grace principle is the only true principle in life that recognizes that we are weak. See, remember, the system we're in is a system where God put us in this position of weakness on purpose so that he could grace us out. There's a message being conveyed there. It's about God. It's not about us. It's secondarily about us. We're a means to an end. He's the end in itself. So he's demonstrating that he can provide assets and provision to people who are inherently weak. And this is ultimately being demonstrated before the angels. Because the angels weren't inherently weak, but they failed. Okay, so he's taking a group of individuals who are inherently weak and have no capacity, and he's demonstrating that through his grace and truth in the Holy Spirit, he can bring people from that status into a position of incredible integrity. See, that's what it's all about. And so we're the means to that end, which means we go up and down in the process, historical trends. So after we're saved, we're still weak because we've not yet learned doctrine. See, power comes from doctrine and the Holy Spirit. You cannot make objective decisions until in humility you realize you've weakness. Like all the rest of mankind, without God's provision, everyone is helpless and hopeless. Romans 3:10-18 says. Therefore, it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. This is our standard state in Adam. There is none who understands and none who seeks for God. Remember, God seeks for us. It's called common grace. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. That is a contradiction of those who think people are basically good. They're not. If they have a tendency to do good, it's because God has overridden their negative volition. Or they've chosen for God in certain venues such that God's word has overruled their evil, sin nature. Okay? And establishment will do that. Up to a point. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. Interesting. Fake news. The poison of apes is under their lips, and whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and destruction and misery in their paths. The paths of peace they don't know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They have no respect for God. Well, that goes right back to this statement. The man or person who says there is no God is a fool or moron in the Greek. So, that's the status. Everyone is helpless and hopeless. Now, we could get all morbose about that, morbid, but actually God's put us here on purpose because he wants to turn the curse into a blessing. And he does if we take advantage of his power. So, all strength in life comes from integrity. Now, remember, integrity is a synonym for love. Weakness in believer makes evangelism meaningful, in the unbeliever makes evangelism meaningful. So, remember, the doctrine related to an unbeliever is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. While weakness in the believer makes doctrine meaningful. And of course, what's that? 1 John 1:9. Walk by means of the Spirit. You know, but you can't walk by means of the Spirit until you know 1 John 1:9. Because the moment you're a believer in Jesus Christ, since you have no doctrine, the second moment you're going to sin. Some way. I mean, mental attitude sin, verbal sin, overt sin. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Why? Well, you don't have any doctrine to stop you from it. You don't know what sin is yet. You just know that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, so you're saved. You're going to heaven. Positional problem solved. All right, you're not going to lake of fire. So now the question is, what do you know? And that's why you got to get to church. You got to find someone who's going to communicate that so that they can make choices. And 1 John 1:9 is a good one to start with, more or less. because that gets you back into, I mean, once you learn some doctrine, you can begin to apply the doctrine after you do First John 1:9. If man is not free, if man is not free to fail, he cannot orient to his need for the grace policy of God the Father. The saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and the fantastic availability of the power of the Holy Spirit for the execution of the protocol plan of God. You see, our position sets us up with needs. A need for God in every category. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, that's an advantage. So, the advantage of understanding this is you can take advantage of the doctrine. And that's another thing I'm always saying, which probably is a bit of a conundrum for some, is that there are no advantages to the advantage without the advantage. All right? That's simply this, what I just said. See, the advantage is the Word of God and understanding how it plays. And so without the advantage of the Word of God, whatever advantages you may have in whatever realm they might exist, because you live in a nation that's bust out of its mind like this one, are no advantages. And which means you're going to be constantly in the process of destroying the advantages that you have because of your negative volition to the advantage. So the advantage is always the principle. Advantage equals Bible doctrine. In whatever category that is. Divine establishment, gospel hearing, whatever. Take your pick. It's doctrine. Truth. It's all about truth. If the believer is not free to fail, he cannot orient to his need for life in the divine dynasphere. And for daily perception of doctrine, he cannot orient to his need for God's plan with will, purpose, and life for his life. So, without recognition of the need, we don't pursue the truth. You know, of course, a lot of unbelievers are in that status quo. They're just passive. A lot of believers are too. They think they're saved and they're going to heaven. And they are, but their spiritual life is non-existent because they don't have any doctrine. And they're not motivated to move out either, necessarily. They need to be motivated. The Holy Spirit will motivate them if they learn how to operate under the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will convict them when they're not operating under the Spirit. But they have to respond. By taking responsibility for your own failures, you have the beginning of a solution. Those who blame their failures on someone else will never have any happiness or solution to the problems of life. See, if you haven't noticed, that's what the socialists do. They never blame themselves. They blame the other guy. You got too much money. You're messing up the environment. I mean, they're never personally responsible for anything. You see, they don't have to do anything different except take more of your stuff. Or stop you from being able to earn more stuff by using capitalism. See, that's all they can do. Which means all they can do is destroy. Why? They haven't taken personal responsibility. They're not the problem. But they are. We just saw here in Romans 3. They are the problem. And it's not just them. Everybody is. We're all in the same situation when we start. It's just that they haven't fixed it because they're disoriented truth. They think they're okay. See, they're perverts and criminals. And they want to stay perverts and criminals. And they want to get worse as perverts and criminals. And they think that's okay. And it's not. You see? And then they think we need to agree with them when they're being a pervert and a criminal. And we don't. We may have to tolerate them, but we don't have to agree with them. But then they get mad. You see, and then they try to assert themselves in their PC viewpoint. Which is nothing but tyranny. Because you have to agree with them. But you're not. You see, you're not. You're not gonna. You can't. By taking responsibility for his own failures and bad decisions, man learns his inherent and acquired weaknesses. And he seeks a power system greater than his weaknesses and greater than himself. See, the point here is to bring us to a position where we're recognizing our inability so that we take advantage of God's grace to acquire ability. See, that's what's going on. God's turning the curse into a blessing, should we choose to take advantage of it. The greater the use of positive volition towards power and the plan of God, the greater the blessing and prosperity for the client nation and any given generation of the church age. Therefore, knowledge of truth not only manufactures freedom, but deliverance and prosperity to the client nation. This is affected by the group of believers who form a pivot by advancing to spiritual maturity, at which point they become the invisible heroes who have invisible impact on the nation. So this is the people who are carrying the freight for the whole country. And it can be a very small number. relative to the number. Now, we've talked about, Joe's been doing a study on Elijah and the 7,000. Well, 7,000 were enough to carry that country of about 2 million people. So, you can do the math on the USA, and it comes around 1.5 million. If I did it right. It's 7,000 into 2 million. 330 million, you know, divided by, just correlate the numbers. It's an algebra problem, pretty simple. So it's over 1 million people. So that's how many people can carry this country. Now, the country's in a world of hurt when that's just that happening, but it can muddle through, as Israel did. You know, they weren't taken out there. We studied they're being taken out. That was in what, 720 BC. You know, and that was 100 years or so before. So Elijah, before he anointed Elisha, who succeeded him, and rode off in his chariot to heaven, he anointed Jehu. Jehu. He's a cool guy. Now, he has problems. He's not even characterized as a good king. Can you believe that? Now, remember, none of the Israelite kings were good. He was just less bad. But he did do a few good things. And in my view, that's Jehu equals Trump. And one of the good things he did was throw Jezebel out the window so that she could be eaten by the dogs. That's one of the things he did. He tore down all the things of Baal that Ahab had built in the Asherah. He also he killed Ahab. Ahab was a great soldier, one of the best. He killed him with an arrow. He killed his kids. Right? So he kind of terminated the dark side there for a while. That's what Jehu did. And the country flattened out with bad. I mean, it was in a serious downtrend, and it kind of flattened out for a while before it got into another serious downtrend. And eventually it was taken out. And we talked about that that was when Assyria came down and took them out. That was, you know, before, 20 years before he came down and tried to take out the Jews, southern kingdom. And he weren't able to take out the southern kingdom. See, God took them out. See, God came through for them. You know, whether he'll come through for us like that or not, I say no. No. Why? Seed of the woman. See, the seed of the woman was in the southern kingdom. And God couldn't allow that to be snuffed out. See, we don't have that. What we have is there is no Jew, no Greek, no bond, nor free, no male, nor female. There is a new creation. That's what we got. And you can put that anywhere. You can put that anywhere. All you have to have is freedom. So where do we go from here? We don't know. I mean, maybe the place will straighten itself out. Well, it won't straighten itself out, but maybe the people who are responsible to do the right things will begin to start doing the right things, maybe, some of them. So that's the only thing we can hope. Otherwise, we don't know what's going to happen. Because as we're going to note here in a minute, we got to have a undeveloped frontier. We don't have one. Maybe we're going to go to Mars with Musk. Maybe that'll be our undeveloped frontier. I don't know. I don't think so, because that's not consistent with the word. That, you know, that's what they think. So invisible heroes with invisible impact. Out of the suffering for blessing comes strength through positive volition towards the truth. See, ultimately, the issue is the truth. Providential preventive suffering plus spiritual self-esteem. This is how God uses suffering. Providential preventive suffering plus spiritual self-esteem equals spiritual autonomy. Spiritual autonomy plus momentum testing equals spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity plus evidence testing equals glorification of God. So this is the crux. See, every one of these areas of testing is faced off with doctrinal cognizance. So you have spiritual, providential preventive suffering plus spiritual self. Spiritual self-esteem is a spiritual cognizance. I mean, spiritual self-esteem simply means you have cognitive identity. You know who you are. The next step is spiritual autonomy. Now you're spiritually autonomous. So you don't need, the doctrine and the Holy Spirit are teaching you what you need to know all the time. John talked about that. You have no need for any man to teach you. Now it doesn't mean you don't have a need for a pastor, but you have the capacity in your own soul to analyze the doctrine as it's communicated and apply it to circumstances. That's autonomy. You're not asking people, how do I do this? All right. When I say the word rebound, you aren't asking what that means. You know, okay, because you have the doctrine. When you start walk by means of the Spirit, you know what that means. because you know the doctrine. Right? That's what that means. That's autonomy. Then spiritual maturity is where you reach a point of invincibility. So there's nothing coming at you that you can't handle, provided you stay in this system. Anybody can jump out of the system by sin, which is why we're to test everything, every thought. Bring every thought into subjection to Jesus. You know, that's the way we have to be. We have to learn to be that way. It's not something we're automatically. We need God and His plan for our lives. God's plan begins with when we believe in Jesus Christ, continues when we learn Bible doctrine in God's spiritual power system. So I guess we're close to a place to stop. So we'll stop here. Father, we thank You for the opportunity You provide for us to study Your Word, the blessing it is for us to recognize that You placed us here in a position of weakness on purpose. And the challenge for us is not to chafe against the weakness, but rather orient to Your power by means of grace and truth. Help us to do that so that we can take advantage of Your power and deploy it in the devil's world to Your glory and our benefit, and maybe, just maybe, this nation might flatten out and survive a while longer, according to Your will. We ask this, thanking You now in Jesus' name, amen.